Welcome back to the Perth Business Podcast. We're a podcast for Perth's business community, and we give voices to entrepreneurs, creatives, and thought leaders via a platform that allows you to access their stories on the go.
I'm Taryn, the host of the podcast, a digital marketing gal with 5 years of industry experience working and networking with the best in Perth over a bev when the best stories tend to emerge. The podcast features origin stories of our local thought leaders, their tales of tough times and tribulations, as well as their trade secrets, tips, and learned strategies that led to their success. Our dream is that you'll learn from their mistakes and challenges and implement their solutions for yourself. So grab a cup of coffee or settle in for the drive to work or to the gym and enjoy. Make sure you give us your thoughts online at Instagram, Facebook, or LinkedIn, and hit that little subscribe button to make sure you get our episodes every week. Without further ado, here's our next guest.
Introducing Rakesh, the founder and managing director of Perth-based Syngenis. Syngenis is Australia's only commercial manufacturer of oligonucleotides, which are pieces of DNA or RNA that can be used by researchers and pharmaceutical companies to diagnose and develop drugs against genetic and acquired diseases. This is unlike any other episode we've had on the podcast to date, and I completely nerd out about everything from academia to entrepreneurship. This episode is for anyone who's interested in anything to do with the medical field, going from study to starting a business, or if you have a connection with pharmaceutical companies. It's also just really interesting to hear about how we can diagnose and develop drugs against genetic and acquired diseases in a more precise manner. Thank you so much to Eva for the connection to Rakesh. You can catch more of Rakesh's story on Eva's vodcast on YouTube, If Innovation Could Talk. For now, grab a cuppa, settle in, and let's get started. Thanks so much for taking the time to come onto the podcast. I'm very, very excited to talk to you.
Yeah, thank you very much, Taryn, for the opportunity. And it is indeed my pleasure to be here talking to you today.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay. So I think we met through Eva. It's nice to meet you in person. I was trawling over the notes that Eva sent through of the video that she did with you. Yeah. So If Innovation Could Talk was, can you tell me a bit about how you met Eva and that experience going on If Innovation Could Talk? So how did you guys connect?
Yeah, with Eva, basically I got an email from Eva about the opportunity of If Innovation Could Talk. So I thought it's an excellent opportunity to showcase Syngenis and also what we are doing here in Perth. Mm. So I just, after that, I had a meeting at Murdoch University. Mm. And then we did share a lot of work that I do. Mm-hmm. And then Eva mentioned about the opportunity to talk about in a sort of a platform that she managed to achieve. So yeah. I made my decision to go ahead with that.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. So Eva speaks to people about their innovation, I guess, projects, things, achievements, successes, learnings, that sort of thing. And I knew it would be worth speaking to you because she obviously spoke very highly of you and of the work that you're doing. So you mentioned, is it Syngenis?
Yes.
Yes. Did I say that correctly?
Indeed.
Yes, nailed it. You did. we'll talk about what you do, so what Syngenis is. Mm-hmm. But first I want to know about you. So are you from Perth?
So, I hail from India. So, mm-hmm. I born and then brought up in India,
awesome.
Southernmost part of India where I come from. And I came to Australia to do my master's degree at Griffith University.
Awesome.
And that was in the year 2000, I think.
Yeah. Is Griffith in Queensland?
Yes.
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And soon after my master's, then I got my PhD at the University of Queensland.
Yeah.
Then after PhD, I moved to Denmark and to do my postdoctoral training.
Wow.
So I spent about 5 years in Denmark, and then I returned to the University of Queensland in Brisbane. And I started my independent research career at the University
of
Queensland.
What year was that?
That was in 2010. I returned.
Oh, okay. Because I studied at UQ in 2013.
13.
So I would have missed you about 3 years.
I left again. I mean, I was there in 2013.
Maybe we crossed paths on the campus.
That's a beautiful campus. And I really enjoyed being my time at GQ. And then I joined Perron Institute and Murdoch University in 2015.
So you just love studying.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm in awe of people who can really lean into, you know, study and explore things in such depth, because it's not easy. It's quite a rigmarole, but if you're passionate about it, I think it's a really cool way to learn about something that you, have heard about. Or how did you get into what you were studying? Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, my study time was basically up until PhD.
Yeah.
And then it was like professional training.
Right.
It's a job, I'd say. It's like postdoctoral career after you complete your PhD. Then I started my postdoctoral training under a professor who is actually a pioneer in the field what I am actually working currently.
Amazing.
And I got all the training in Denmark, and then I came back with that skill, which is very unique in Australia at that time. And I basically started my own career or independent research at the University of Queensland.
Incredible.
And then in 2015, when I found another opportunity here at Murdoch University through Perron Institute, I applied for it, and then I was successful in getting it, and then I moved to Perth at Murdoch University to start my own research group as head of precision nucleic acid therapeutic research.
My goodness. Yeah, I feel like for this podcast, the layman, I'm going to have to slow down some of this, because I'm very keen to hear about the work that you do, and I've been practicing saying this one. I'd sound like a bit of a dum-dum right now, but the oligonucleotides. Damn, I thought I'd get it in the first go. Yeah. Oligonucleotides. Yes, nailed it.
You got it right.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think I was saying oglio, and I was like, I had to spell it out like a yeah. Can you tell me what that is, and the work that you're doing with regard to, is it DNA related to our DNA and the involvement in COVID? So let's take it back. So oligonucleotides. Yes. Nailed it. Yeah. What are they? Yeah. How are you working with them? And then we'll go from there.
Okay. Yeah. You've definitely, gave your best shot. Oligonucleotides indeed is the best pronunciation. These are short pieces of synthetic DNA or RNA, pieces. So, you know, our genetic materials are actually formed or made of DNA.
It's like strings of information.
These are, our information is stored in the form of DNA. DNA is basically a long twisty molecule made of four letters, basically adenine, thymine, guanine, and cytosine, that is A, T, G, C. So we've got almost about 3 billion base pairs made of these letters.
Yeah.
So all our genetic information is basically stored in the form of these DNA.
Yeah.
So basically we are all the same, but there are subtle variations in the way these letters are positioned in our gene. So that makes us all very unique. So I have distinct nature, what I have, basically because of that subtle variation. About 99% we are all ideally the same, but that little variation is making us very unique as we are. So that's inside our body. So what we can also make a part of that synthetically. Chemically we can make it.
What's the difference between DNA and RNA?
DNA is actually the genetic information.
Yep.
And now you need to pass that information into message. That message is what we call RNA.
Okay.
So the genetic information is then passed in the form of a message to, for example, I need to move my hand. Okay. Yep. It's a function. Okay, this basically is, I'm able to do this is because of a protein called dystrophin. Mm. So that dystrophin is actually made by a message which is then converted into protein.
Mm-hmm.
So okay. That's basically the protein. So okay. This the RNA is actually the mediator, the message.
Yeah.
Okay, DNA is the information which okay. is stored. And then the message from that information is basically RNA that is then passed, the message is then converted into
yep.
proteins
yep.
For various functions of our daily life.
Yeah, okay, well put. That's very clear, yeah, awesome.
Yeah, so chemically they're different.
Yep.
DNA is actually deoxyribonucleic acid
mm-hmm.
and RNA is actually, it's with that hydroxyl group at the two prime.
Okay.
So that's, chemically they're different as
yeah.
well.
Yeah.
So... Yeah, so DNA, these oligo, coming back to your oligonucleotides, are mm-hmm. actually these short pieces of DNA or RNA
mm-hmm.
that are made synthetically in our laboratory.
Yeah,
that's
okay.
what we call oligonucleotide.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so the oligonucleotides are the synthetic.
Basically, they are polymers of okay. These nucleotides. So
yeah.
That's where oligonucleotides. It's like you have beads, you know, you form a chain out of beads.
Yeah.
So it's like you have, imagine you have four different colored beads with
yeah.
you. So there's A, T, G, C with different.
Mm-hmm.
So you're basically making one after the other.
Ah.
So that's basically oligos.
Yes.
Right?
Oh.
So you can make n number of oligos. So it doesn't wow. necessarily mean what that name literally means, oligonucleotides. Basically,
mm-hmm.
it's polymers of these A, T, G, C.
Ah.
Any length, and that's what you call oligos.
Yeah, okay,
yeah.
So a strand in the sweater
a
of
strand,
our
yeah,
makeup.
And a strand of
yeah.
Four different letters.
Yeah.
Yeah,
awesome.
Yeah.
Wow, well
But we can
explained.
Make them synthetically,
yeah.
which are shorter,
uh-huh.
so I can't make a very polymeric or a very
yeah.
long ones like 3,000 or 2,000 or 500 or something like that. I can make like, you know, up to 100 or 150 maximum.
Okay, great.
Because there are challenges that what we can make in our lab. So that's
yeah.
what we call oligonucleotides.
I was going to ask where and
yeah.
how you do that, but
yeah.
Let's talk more about how you would use that. So why would you need to create something like that?
Yeah. There are so many applications of these oligonucleotides. We could make them for drug development because
mm-hmm.
the beauty of these synthetic molecules are they can specifically, you know, complement and bind to our specific areas of our gene
mm-hmm.
and manipulate its function.
Okay.
Which other molecules cannot do, because if we have in our current drugs where we take like paracetamol or anything, these are chemical molecules.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have the capacity or an ability to go and specifically bind to those gene complementary.
Yeah.
You know? But these molecules like oligo, a piece of DNA can actually self-complementary or design in a way that it can self-complementary to a part of a gene which is faulty,
wow.
then we can manipulate its function.
Right, okay.
That's one application.
So sorry, to clarify, does it replace a faulty section of, yeah, does it replace it or would it be
we
like
can,
a Band-Aid?
Yeah, that's what we call gene editing.
Okay.
And we can do that. And the other
that's
option
okay.
is basically to interfere in the way it functions.
Yeah.
Basically, it can then target specifically bind to that area of the gene and the way it then functions can be manipulated.
Wow,
that
is so interesting.
Can itself form a drug or therapy for
yeah.
a disease, for example. You know, for a genetic diseases are actually spelling errors in our genes because you
mm.
have, I said, like you have 3 billion, you know, base pairs. And there can be some mistakes. It is quite possible.
Yeah.
And that's where we have, you know, genetic diseases.
Yeah.
There,
oh, my gosh.
These spelling errors can then be patched using some of these kind of oligos that we synthetically make in our
yep.
laboratory.
Yeah.
So it can be used for therapeutic development
mm-hmm.
and it can also be used for diagnostic applications. For
mm.
example, you may already hear about, heard about RT-PCR for COVID
yes.
test.
Yep. Yep.
The way it works, like you have, you know, part of the, you know, the genetic material of that, the viral genome is there. You need to see whether you have the virus or not. You just take your sample
yep.
to see whether that viral genome is actually in our sample in our a body, mm-hmm. using the fluids what we have in our body.
Yeah.
So then we have these pieces of oligonucleotides made of DNA, mm-hmm. Is specifically designed to target specific areas of this virus genome, right?
Yeah.
Then it can target, specifically bind to that area, and then amplify them, and then detect them specifically to that specific virus. So then we can say, oh yeah, this is there. That, or is it positive, mm-hmm. or a negative?
Mm-hmm.
So that's another application basically for diagnosis. It's not only for COVID, but there are so many other different disease indications, so which can be used as well.
Yeah, right. So like you were saying before, the genetic errors, that's sort of those issues that people are born with, you can detect them, diagnose them, and then treat potentially. And
yeah, absolutely. That's why the whole new area is precision therapy.
Yeah.
So we can start from the precision diagnosis to therapeutic development.
This is incredible,
And that's exactly what we at Syngenis are doing.
Yeah.
So we are actually helping the research and development community basically to cater their therapeutic molecule development side as well as the diagnostic development side.
Yeah.
And so we can make them in our company, mm-hmm. and supply the materials for their specific applications.
Okay. So who would use, so if you're developing the actual makeup of it like this, you're doing the science, you're in the labs, you're creating all of that, sort of behind the scenes, I suppose, who would then use it and apply it?
Companies who are into pharma companies, who are actually developing drugs.
Yep.
So that's the therapeutic application goes. Mm-hmm. And there are also commercial diagnostic companies. For example, we do have our partner SpeedX, one of Australia's largest diagnostic companies who we partner with. And then we supply the materials to SpeedX for their COVID kit development. And also they are not only in COVID, but they are in other sexually transmitted diseases and all other types of disease indications that they are working with. So we manufacture the oligos that they require for mm-hmm. their diagnostic kits. So that's one. Basically the end users here are basically the diagnostic companies and also pharmaceutical companies. Mm-hmm. And also some of these research organizations or research institutions are also developing drugs on an N-of-1 basis. For example, if you have an extremely rare disease indication, pharma companies might not be interested to develop drugs because it's not profitable, it's not sustainable for just one person.
Yeah.
So what we in our field, we have an example like Tim Yu at Boston Children's Hospital in the U.S. Had a patient, Mila Makovic. She had an extremely rare disease called Batten disease.
Okay.
He diagnosed he was a pediatrician, and he found out as this disease. And then he was wondering what he could do to help her. And then he learned the field and also then came up and collaborated with people who can actually develop this. So from the time to, from diagnosis to therapy, all development happened in just 10 months' time.
Wow.
The injection. And that's what we can do in this field.
My goodness.
So which otherwise will take 15, 16 years.
Yeah.
Came down to just, because it was only one person.
Yeah.
And then the field is so advanced.
Mm-hmm.
And pharma companies will not be able to do.
No, not
so
profitable.
So we have to think outside the box what we can do. And then it's a collaboration between research, research institutions and various different fields of expertise come together to come up with some specific and unique drug molecule.
Solution, yeah.
That can be...
That's incredible.
For Mila McAvoy.
Yeah, okay. Condition.
And she's absolutely, fine.
Yeah, great. So he essentially had this patient that had an issue that I suppose it's already existing, right? So it's a disease that's been sort of discovered in the past, and the solution is not profitable for our pharmaceutical companies to develop en masse. So his solution was to approach someone like you and come up with a bespoke solution.
Yeah.
I have so many questions because, like, how does someone fund a project like that if it's not of benefit to the companies that have the money, the pharmaceutical giants? Yeah, yeah. And how are our, like, pediatricians and the doctors, the ones on the front sort of lines who are dealing with the customers, not customers, patients, dealing with the issues, how are they sort of, what's their line of communication with someone like you and with businesses like yours that have the resources to delve into its medical solutions and, like, right down to the granular, down to the DNA, literally. So, like, the oligos, as you so affectionately called it. I love that. What's the line of communication there? Like, how did that 10-month project work, and what was your company's involvement and your specific involvement?
Well, we are not directly involved in that.
Theoretically, nothing.
This, I just gave you an example what we could achieve in this time. So it requires funding. So I think Milo's mother managed to raise money, about $3 million or so. So that's how crowdfunding really helped to achieve that. And we normally also apply for grants here as well. And there are now foundations who support this sort of research and development. So NLRM Foundation in US, who one of the pharma company CEO, the founder CEO, actually came after his career. He formed this sort of initiative to fund extremely rare indications.
Wow.
So this combination of philanthropic initiatives and government funding and crowdfunding.
Yeah.
So these are potentially the ways how we can raise money to support these sort of unique treatment modalities.
Yeah, you get the community around it.
Absolutely.
And support, generate support through
that. It needs money because companies cannot make drugs without, covering the cost for consumables, although they may waive, a lot of profits, but they still need to manufacture them at their cost, so that probably is where we need money.
Yeah. Okay. So in the process of projects that you're working on, I imagine obviously the funding would come after you've sort of got a proof of concept in terms of what you want to do with that funding. So you've got the problem and you've got a bit of a plan in your head of how you want to come to the solution. So I imagine that involves a lot of research, so a little bit of R&D, a lot of testing, all the way through to, like, actual development and what's it called? Putting it out. What's the word for, like, distribution or application, I suppose. Yeah. So how does that process work on your end? Is there anything you're working on at the moment that you want to talk a little bit more about in terms of, like, from the start to finish or whatever stage you're at, how that works?
Yeah, from a company perspective, Syngenis is basically a manufacturing organization. Mm-hmm. So it's basically manufacturing all kinds of oligonucleotides, DNA, RNA, modified RNA. For therapeutic purposes, we always need to use chemically modified variants of RNA. In various scales, we can do it from small micrograms to large, gram scale, we can manufacture them. And for therapeutic development, for early stage screening to, preclinical validation studies, and also potentially in future, we are looking at to develop, to support phase one clinical trials as well.
Yeah.
So this is, these are activities that we do at the company.
Mm-hmm.
but me at a different role as my full-time associate professor role at Murdoch University, what we're doing is basically to develop these kind of drug molecules against different diseases, for example.
Yeah.
We currently work towards developing drugs against type 2 diabetes.
Wow. Yeah.
And solid cancer and also psoriasis.
Yeah.
So these are basically, again, drug molecule made of RNA that can specifically target a specific gene, which we think is responsible for the underlying pathology of that condition. And we can then target that specific gene using these synthetic oligonucleotide drug molecule and you know, inhibit its function so that we can improve the function or the condition. So this is basically what we are doing in my full-time, I mean my role at the university.
Yeah, incredible.
So which, again, when it matures, we will need to buy these oligonucleotide therapeutic molecules from time to time to do all of these studies, for which we, again, will go back to the company to manufacture them, and then we'll supply. And that's we synergistically exist, a research organization plus this kind of manufacturing organization.
That's incredible.
And, and so far there are no commercial organization that can that manufactures DNA, RNA, or
I was going to ask,
in Australia at the moment. So so far, it's only Syngenus. So
wow, just in little WA.
Yeah, so
incredible.
So we ideally would like to, you know, grow that hub or ecosystem here in WA that can actually manufacture the drug molecule and develop the drugs and. You know, trial the drugs in WA as well. So we have clinical trial organization called Linear Clinic. You know, Linear is actually an organization based at Harry Perkins Institute.
Okay.
And they obviously are doing trials for various you know, exploratory drug molecules. So if everything can be done here in WA, and that's would be an excellent
it's a dream,
opportunity
yeah.
here
yeah.
in WA.
Yeah, that is incredible. Yeah. One of the questions I had in my head on the way over here was, it sounds a bit silly saying how is this innovative, because it is very clearly, like it's very clear how and why it's innovative. But can you tell me a bit about how old this practice is? So how it's obviously the only, you're the only people that do it in Australia right now. I'm sure people are also like into the research and they're sort of at that level potentially across Australia. Yeah. How old is this practice and how do you see it growing? Like what's the trend for it moving forward?
Well, it currently RNA therapeutic is booming.
Yeah.
And you could see that in America. Companies are popping every month.
Yeah.
I would say every year.
Multiplying,
so many companies are coming with unique drug indications.
Yeah.
You know, these kind of molecules are being developed against different disease indications. So that's a very significant plus for companies like us, like for Syngenus. We need manufacturing also to be on par with their developmental goals as well. So that's something we are trying to make. Obviously, to answer your query, it's been around for a while, since 80s, you know, but the field is advancing and innovating with new technologies, new type of designs. So that's, but the synthetic methodology is also getting its makeup. Yeah, I mean, there are, there are research institutes in Australia coming up with some funding to also in the manufacturing field. But as a commercial entity so far, only Syngenus is able to do it at the moment. Is currently Syngenus is the only company.
That's
we've had a company in 2000 and I think they stopped in 2017 called GeneWorks in Adelaide. That was apparently the only company at that time in Australia capable of doing these kind of manufacturing services for R&D sectors. But it was acquired by Integrated GNA Technologies. There's another a global giant in this field. Mm-hmm. And then they uprooted that company to Singapore.
So, right. Do you see that happening for you guys?
No, we envisioned our company as a Western Australian entity, and which supports this sort of, because we do have a drug development ecosystem here.
Yeah.
So, for example, Murdoch University, we've got a lot of research groups there actively involved in developing drugs. So,
yeah.
And also we do have the clinical trial organization here. So I do believe this could be like a hub that, you know, as I mentioned before, manufactures, develops and trial in WA.
Mm. I think this is so incredible for WA because at the moment, if you hear about anything like related to something a little bit rare on the rare side in terms of medical issues that people are dealing with and treatments that they are required to receive, they either have to go over to the East Coast or, yeah, to the US or the UK or somewhere that has a lot more resources and is offering those resources to the public. I think that's probably the worst thing about being so isolated in Australia and essentially under-resourced, but not at the forefront of anything. I don't want to say anything medical because that's wrong. That's incorrect. But I feel like it's a great opportunity for WA to be able to have this, this growth in this area, because it's going to be, you know, really useful for things now that we've seen how COVID-19 really rocked the nation and WA. It's, you know, having closed borders, that sense of like we are so isolated from the world really brings home the fact that we need like organisations like yours and other ones in, you know, the technical space as well. So that's a question for you, is how is the advancement of technology assisting in the growth of your company and in the progression of what you want to achieve? Because it's brought a lot of things on a lot more quickly because, mm-hmm. you know, we spoke to someone recently about the digital advancements around the metaverse and that sort of thing, and how that is assisting not just marketers, but like, I guess, humanity, society, a lot sooner than we thought it would. So how is technology advancement helping you do your work quicker, or is it?
In our field, technology advancement for synthetic applications, it's not like something what's happened in digital sector, but we can obviously get robotics and so on to be implemented in our systems. But I see the other part, like the marketing sector, is where social media is going to play a significant role in So that is what I believe. Technologically, we take full advantage of now.
Yeah.
So we can instantly, you know, make our voice heard to our, you know, to thousands of people in just one day.
Tell your story on a podcast, for example.
Absolutely. So this is one of the, you know, very good side of technology for a company like us. And I use that platform very efficiently to some extent, I guess, but obviously still we need to explore more. And so this is something I think can complement our sort of business, but actual technology for the manufacturing, as I mentioned, robotics is already there for some time, but new platforms on how to streamline your process of manufacturing. Mm-hmm. It's all previously people follow, you know, the standards on paper, paper-based system.
Yeah.
But it's all now converted into a digital system. So it's touch of your finger. I mean, to monitor in every part of the process of your manufacturing is now monitored digitally.
Yeah.
So it makes the life, our life so easier, and also our customers' life so easier, because they have, they're more confident and they can easily see what we are making, and also the digital, information what they can get to see where what stage of manufacturing the specific orderees, and they can easily track and monitor in real time.
Yeah.
So these are obviously digital advancement, I would say. So that can be integrated in our manufacturing process.
Yeah, efficiencies and communications.
Yeah,
but
and
also
communications and marketing,
yep.
communications and management of our manufacturing process.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah.
My mind is blown. This has been very lucrative for my knowledge base today. I feel like there is so much to be said for things that the layman doesn't understand in terms of how we advance medically. I really liked your point on the marketing side of things, and not just because that's my wheelhouse, but I think in terms of funding as well and developing not just awareness, because it's you need the awareness to then generate, I guess even more people joining your cause. So people doing the research, the development, joining your team, helping actually manufacture, grow.
Yeah.
Can you tell me a bit about your business, why you started it? Obviously you've studied a very significant amount. You launched into a career based off of that study. Yeah. And now you've started your own company, which is no small feat, especially particularly in the area you're in. And I find that really interesting. How you became, did you always have an entrepreneurial spirit, or what pushed you, what launched you into starting a business?
Well, thank you for asking, Tammy. So I think I can tell you that at the background behind the formation of our company.
Mm.
When we had a complete border closure in 2020, March or April, first week of April, we were completely shut.
Wow.
Right. So we, in that time, I got an email from the Federal Ministry, Department of Industry, Energy, and Science, asking me about my capability to manufacture RT-PCR primers to serve entire Australia. And
wow.
I said, I am only a laboratory.
Yeah.
And I can only make in limited quantity.
Yeah. And you're one person locked out of that at the moment.
I was so happy that I was, contacted.
Yeah.
And I was identified and contacted by the department.
Yeah.
Because I was the only laboratory facility at that time in Australia capable of making this kind of oligonucleotides. At that time, it was at Murdoch University. And I've been running that facility at a laboratory scale for almost 6.5 years.
Yeah.
After I joined Murdoch University, so that really inspired me to convert this laboratory into a commercial organization, which will give me enough flexibility in what I would like to which I am capable of.
Yeah.
So then I discussed with my mentor, Professor Marv Corrados of the University of Colorado. And Marv is actually a distinguished American biochemist. And he was also a co-founder of Applied Biosystem and also Amgen Pharmaceutical. Amgen, obviously, as you know, is one of the biggest pharmaceutical industry.
Yeah.
So he's also an excellent professor in the field. The person who invented the manufacturing process that we are all using to make these oligonucleotide in 80s.
Yeah.
So he is my mentor, and he gave me all kinds of support and then the inspiration to go ahead, and then that gave me the confidence.
Yeah.
And then I started the company in the same year, into December 2020.
Yeah.
And we formed Syngenis, and then in March 2021, we moved the company to Bentley Technology Park and commenced in full scale operation.
Oh, that's in my neighborhood.
Yeah.
We're neighbors. Yeah.
So that's where we are.
Yeah.
So, and we commence our operation in it's on 19th of March 2021.
Yeah.
So
wow. So 1 full year after you were contacted.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah, that's right. But The other question, Corey, is whether did I have the entrepreneurial skill?
Yeah. Take me back to your childhood. What? Yeah.
Well, I mean, we are always researchers or academic researchers are very, happy with their comfort zone.
Yeah.
They don't want to come out of it. Okay, so I'm good in writing grants, and then able to produce what I am capable of, and on a daily, basis, and we are happy to work with students, and then we can generate more publications and research productivity stuff and so on. But we, although would like to do these kind of business things, we will never have the courage to come out and start something.
Yeah.
Now the universities around the world are pushing their researchers
or their
scientists to move towards that sector.
Great.
So be an entrepreneur and try and then pitch it to various organizations and see if you have that. So in 2016, Murdoch University gave me that opportunity to an innovation program called Start Something. And I participated in that program. And then I came out as one of the winners in that Start Something program organized by Murdoch University.
Great.
But not for this specific initiative, but for some other ideas.
Yeah.
But that really slowly gave me the confidence that I am indeed
It is all
capable.
About confidence, right?
Yeah. It was confidence building, but my main backbone is my mentor Marv.
Yeah.
So he's there. So if something happens, I have someone to talk to. So.
Yeah, that's done it before, right? That's the thing.
So that was the spirit I've had, the confidence level I had, and then I started the organization. And Marv is obviously an investor.
Yeah.
As well,
great.
Because Marv is a businessman as well.
Yeah.
And then I was able to attract investment from my other people.
Yeah.
A Perth Radiology Clinic chairman, Dr. Martin Blake.
Yeah.
And then Dr. George Bordovich, he's a nuclear medicine physician from the Royal North Shore Hospital. He also invested in. And my institute, Perrin Institute, who gave all the instrumental support and also gave me that courage to go ahead.
Yeah.
And that's how we formed St. Genis with this investment. So initially we started off with the capital of around $1 million. And then we started the company, and now with a few customers, now which is grown to, bigger, and now it's growing again.
Growing. Oh, incredible. Yeah,
that's my experience of starting this commercial venture.
So the takeout would be get yourself a mentor, take advantage of the initiatives that your research bodies are, or universities wherever you're studying are offering. Look for them. If they're not there, drive them to create them, and just start something, test something, throw yourself into like that. You know, if you were winning that, what was it called? Start something. Oh yeah, there we go. And start something. Taking part in that sort of thing to drive. I completely see as a researcher why you would want to take that into a business or a venture or have someone invest in it, because you have been devoting your life to it, and for someone to see the value in that and then use it and make a difference in the world is what everyone wants to do, right? Like, well, most people want to make a difference or have a purpose in the world. And I think that is such an awesome story. I am so bowled over and blown away by your story. It is so cool. I wish I could grill you for hours and hours. But do you want to do a bit of a shameless plug? Give us a little bit of info on where we can find out more about you, the social media, so we can keep up with updates. And I will drop notes in the podcast notes as well, so people can keep up with you.
Yeah, absolutely. So we... I'm very active in LinkedIn, so if you search Rakesh Envidu, so you will find me.
Mm-hmm.
And also we, and our company, St. Genis, has got a website, www.stgenis.com.
And St. Genis is
S-Y-N-G-E-N-I-S.
I-S, yeah.
Yeah, stgenis.com. So you'll get all the information regarding our company.
Yeah.
And for our activities at the university. So it's www.rakesh-vidu.com. which keeps all the information regarding my, research and development.
Yeah, awesome.
Or alternatively, you can go onto Google and type Rakesh Vidu.
Mm.
So we'll give...
Yeah, he's there. You're there. So. You're all over Google. I would love to be able to open up the floor to podcast guests to ask questions, because one thing we didn't touch on today that we should do a part two or something is the challenges that you faced against on the way. We will wrap it up today just because of time. But what time is it? Oh, yeah. And then I think we can totally bring it back and...
Sure.
Have another conversation around challenges, because if anyone out there is doing research or wanting to take, not necessarily in the medical field either, or, chemistry, that sort of thing, it could be technology or whatever it might be, I think they would have lots of questions for you, because what you've done is very unique and really incredible, and I think I'm really excited to see where it goes, because there is a lot of potential and it's awesome. So well done. And thank you so much for joining me today. I'm completely humbled.
Thank you very much, Darren, for your invitation, and also it is my pleasure to be here with you today.
Yeah, awesome. We'll chat soon.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I'll look forward to it. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Perth Business Podcast, where we love to talk a little bit of shit while discovering gems of knowledge from professionals and those just trying their darn best in Perth. Make sure you check out past episodes for trade secrets, tips, and learn strategies in various different industries. If you rate, review, and subscribe, it really helps the podcast grow and reach the ear holes of many different business owners that could use the advice and insights from the learnings of our guests. If you, like our guests, are passionate about their community and open to sharing experiences, tips and ideas with other business owners, I look forward to connecting with you. You can reach out to me at theperthbusinesspodcast@gmail.com or slide into my DMs on LinkedIn, Instagram or Facebook. As always, thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Perth Business Podcast. I look forward to connecting with you and collaborating with you in our business community in Perth.